All right. Let me get a sip of this. And I love you guys. No buts. No buts. I love you guys. I love you too much to not tell you the truth.
Amen.
I love you too much to not be honest with you about the Word of God. Now, well, let's just dive off into it. 1 Corinthians 6, 14 through 20. And keeping in mind, I tell you what, you can keep in mind the passage there in Genesis that I read about God making the woman for him. And you can keep in mind that song, Clean. And that'll be good for you to keep in mind. God has raised up, 1 Corinthians 6, 14 through 20. God has raised up, raised up the Lord and will raise us up also by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Amen.
Flee sexual immorality.
Amen.
Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Amen.
This part of my sermon is about sexual immorality, all kinds. But first I want to talk to you, heterosexuals, sexual immorality. This can be sex outside of your marriage, or this can be sex, premarital sex, before you're ever married, or outside of your marriage. And I just want to say that they're wrong.
Amen.
Okay? Now I realize that that covers a lot of us. Okay? But it's wrong. I love you too much not to tell you that it's wrong. He says to flee sexual immorality. Every sin a man does, he does outside the body, but he who commits the sexual immorality sins against his own body. There's something very unique about sexual sins. And it's because of the passage that I read back there in Genesis chapter 2. Because God was making a helpmate for man. And he made the woman. And he called it, the two shall become one flesh, and they were not ashamed. The two becoming one flesh. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how it happens, but I know that it does happen. When you sin outside of sexual immorality, when you sin the sin of sexual immorality, you go outside and you join yourself to someone else. You join yourself in a union to someone else instead of that one that God has chosen for you. It's spiritual. It touches all aspects of your life and your body and your brain, and it has serious consequences. Even for the believer, it has serious consequences. Here's a good one. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Would you take the temple of the Holy Spirit and join it with a person outside of wedlock? No, you wouldn't. Or yeah, you wouldn't, but you do. I didn't mean to say that. You are not your own.
Amen.
Now that'll cover a whole lot of areas. But this whole idea of it's my body, my choice, and my body, and my decision. No.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
You're not your own.
Amen.
You are not your own. Paul, favorite description of himself, beginning a book, is a servant, doulos, a servant. You know what that means? It means a slave. We've gussied it up a little bit and let it be called a servant, but it means a slave. You do not belong to yourself, especially if you're a child of God. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to God, who has redeemed you. You see, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. First, let me read the you were bought at a price. 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of men, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You are redeemed by Christ if you have made that decision. Ephesians 1:7. In him, talking about in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You're redeemed by Christ. You're bought and paid for by Christ. You do not belong to you. You do not belong to you. That's a good way to say it. You don't belong to you. You are not yourself. You belong to Christ. It's very mystical, very magical. There is a unity that takes place in the body of Christ, a unity that takes place between a man and a woman in the marriage, in the bonds of marriage. And to take that outside for anything else is wrong. Switch gears just a little bit. We're going to switch three different gears. It's going to seem like we're talking about three different things, but they're all one and the same. They are all sexual immorality. Listen to this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all... Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. What I want you to catch from that verse is that the wrath of God is revealed in creation. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. God has shown it to them. For since creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's saying that people are without excuse. No one has an excuse, period. Not the person who's grown up in a jungle, never heard the gospel, not no one. Everyone in creation can see in creation that the wrath of God has been revealed and that they are without excuse.
Amen.
Because though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. because they didn't know God, because they knew God, but they weren't willing to acknowledge him, the foolishness of their hearts. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. God gave them up. God gave them over to sexual sin. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their hearts, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves a penalty of their error, which was due. They became homosexuals. God gave them up, and they began to pursue their hearts. And he made them, and they chose homosexuality. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with, now here's a bunch of things. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. Now, yes, the Bible talks about all of these other things. But today, I'm talking about sexual immorality from the top to the bottom, right to left. I'm going to include it all. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, to their disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Let me tell you a little bit about my experience with homosexuality. It was in church. Wasn't in this church. A deacon asked me to go visit a young man who was dying. He said he was dying. And I said, sure, I'll go visit him. He came to me the next day, and he said, I want to tell you a little something about him. He said he's dying of AIDS and he's homosexual. And I said, that's all right. I'll go visit him. And I went and visited him and struck up a friendship with him. When he got out of the hospital, he started coming to church. His partner with him. He came. It wasn't very long. It was a little while. I don't know how long. He found himself sitting in my office one day. And he began to talk to me. And he said I was wrong. I was wrong about everything. I was wrong about it all. And he wanted to surrender his life to Christ. I had no reason for not believing him. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm trying to cover my tracks. No, I baptized him. I knew he was still living with a guy. I baptized him. He said he was wrong. He wanted to follow Christ. And I believe that. And he had his homosexual lifestyle started at such a young age that his friends, every one of them was homosexual. They were all homosexual. And he struggled. I don't know how much he struggled with it, but he struggled with it until the day that he did die, which was not long after. He came to the church. He came to fellowships. And I'm saying this to say to you, if you're homosexual, you are welcome in our church. Okay, let me say that one more time. If you're asleep, just wake up just for this one second. And I'm saying that if you're a homosexual, you're welcome in this church. Now, you are not welcome. We will not make you a member. We will not parade your lifestyle. We will not celebrate your lifestyle. But you, as a homosexual, are welcome in our church. You're not free to have a leadership role. I had another person who was homosexual found out teaching our children. I had to tell her, you can no longer teach our children. That's just the way it is. If it's wrong, I'm going to say it's wrong. Even if it accuses me or my family. And by the way, we've already hit on me and my family in this. I think it's important to understand that it says not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. We're not going to celebrate the lifestyle, but they're welcome in our church. Now, if you don't know how to make that distinction, I don't know. I learned it a long time ago. I learned it from my dad and mom. The things I did were not welcome in their house. Never. Never. They never got wore down. They never got tired. The things that I did were not welcome in their house. But I was welcome in their house. And you have to learn. You have to learn to hate the sin and love the sinner. And that's it. Amen. I'm going to take it a step further. Transgenderism. It's a little uncomfortable in here today, huh? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Amen. There's two genders. There's two. Male and female. That's how many genders there are. If you love your kids, you will not let them be transgender. I say that because 58% of transgender adults have mental disorders and have attempted or will attempt suicide. 42% do attempt suicide. This is just adults. This is just adults. It's not even kids. Many children who... Children, if you leave a child alone and turn him loose, the boys will grab a stick and it'll be a sword or a spear, and the girls will grab a doll. But because of prodding by parents, children will start thinking, well, I'm better liked as a girl, or I'm better liked as a boy, or I'm not a girl and I'm not a boy. They'll think that. Let me give you a little example. This is funny, I hope. When I was a kid, I had an older sister. And when I was 3, 4, 5 years old, I don't even know how old I was, she liked to play makeup with me. I thought nothing of it. We even had a name for said person. And I'm not going to say that name because I don't want you to use it. But I was a girl. We would play and I would be a lady. And I thought nothing of it. And my parents thought nothing of it. And if my parents would have pushed me to be a lady, I don't know. But I am so glad that they didn't. I am so glad that they just saw it as two kids playing. Most children, I understand it's not all, most children who think they're transgender, once they get through puberty and into young adulthood, all that's gone out the window. It's all gone. Every bit of it is gone. Now, the reason that transgenderism, I'll be the first to admit I don't know a lot about it, and we as a society don't know a lot about it because it's just been really taking off here within the last 10, 20 years. We don't see a lot of detransitioning. We do see some. Two things. One is, people, if you have a flag and it represents your cause, it is not to be flown in Washington, D.C. I like football, but the SEC flag, Texas Longhorns, isn't flown in the state capitol. Another thing is that you need to hear me on this. You will never. I say the word never, and I mean never. You will never change from a male to a female or a female to a male. Never. 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 I'm talking scientifically. Never change. The XX chromosome is for females. The XY chromosome is for males. And every cell in your body will scream out XY or XX till the day you die. And even after you die, it'll scream it out. 200 years from now, they could dig up your body and they could tell, oh, well, this was a male. Oh, well, this was a female. It won't have anything to do with what you thought. And here's the thing about that. God created you perfect. Absolutely perfect. Just the way you are.
Amen.
You may not like it, but God likes it. There's lots of things about me that I don't like. God likes that. I've debated on whether to give this to you, and I'm going to give it to you now. Just give me a few more minutes. I've debated on this. This is Jesus' teaching, and it's his teaching on celibacy. He's talking about the eunuchs. The eunuchs were men who, all can accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who are born thus from their mother's womb. There are eunuchs who are born that way. And then there are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men. There are eunuchs who are made eunuchs. And then there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs. For the kingdom of heaven's sake, he said he was able to accept it. Let him accept it. Celibacy. If you've got nowhere else to go, glorify God in your body.
Amen.
Glorify God in your spirit. Glorify God. Whatever you do, glorify God. And it may be that you are celibate for your life. Church, what are we to do? We're to remember that every single person is a person for whom Christ died.
Amen.
And shed his blood. He died for them. And they are welcome in this church, and they are welcome they're welcome here. They're just welcome to worship and seek the Lord with all of us. You are not your own. Glorify God in your body. You are not your own. You are Christ. Sin is sick. And without Christ, you're going to hell. That's everybody. That's me. That's everybody. Without Christ, you go to hell. I don't want that to happen to you or to anyone in here. I'm going to finish with one more little story. There was an organization of a lady who was against transgenderism. She was violent, vehemently against it, and she wasn't making any mistakes. So she tried to get the church to follow her, to support her. That's a word, support her. She couldn't find not one church that would support her and her organization. And the reason was, they didn't want to appear to be unloving. Let me tell you what's unloving. If I don't tell you the truth. If the building's burning down and I don't tell you. If the church is crumbling and I don't tell you.
Amen.
I tell you all, sexual immorality is wrong at every level. The heterosexual level, the homosexual level, and the transgender level. It's wrong, and it all has its wrong, and we all need Christ.
Amen.
Stand up with me, please. you may need to come down to the front. You may need to kneel and pray. It may have been 40, 50 years ago. It may have been longer than that. You may have never sought forgiveness for your sexual immorality. And it's wrong. For your homosexuality, and it's wrong. For your transgenderism, and it's wrong. The altar is open. You can come. You can kneel. You can pray. Don't let yourself be thwarted. I can't think of the word. Don't let yourself be stopped from moving forward because of the enemy. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you guys to sing. And if you know it, you can sing it. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You come.